Thank you, Uncle Steve. It is, I guess I can say uncle since he is my uncle and everything. I am, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited for the opportunity I have to stand before you and to truly serve you this evening. I'm going to have to tell you that I do appreciate your prayers, and I ask that you continue to pray for me. I am probably a little bit more nervous tonight than I normally am, and I think the reason for that is I feel pretty heavy with a message that I feel that I've been given, that has been on my heart for some time. And you know, any time that I've had the opportunity to stand before you or to stand anywhere, I try to keep my message as positive as possible. I enjoy life. I enjoy the things in life. I enjoy those around me. I enjoy church. But I feel like tonight that I'm, not that I don't enjoy what I have to talk about or I don't enjoy these things, but I just kind of feel a little bit heavier tonight with some things that have been on my mind. And I ask for your prayer and I ask for your patience with me and kind of follow with me a little bit tonight, because I have some things that I feel I've been led to give to you. Let's turn first off to Mark chapter 11. You know, probably the last four sermons that I've sat in and listened to, both Nicholas this morning, my Uncle Steve last week, I think it was, and my dad last week, all of them really just kind of bounced around and touched into a lot of the things that I have to say this evening. I could almost say, let's just sum all those up real quick, let's close it, and we could probably go. But that isn't why you came here. And I do feel like I have a message to bring to you tonight. I want to look at the 23rd through the 26th verse. And really, a few portions of this verse, of these next few verses, is really what I want to talk about. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. I have stood up here and I have preached before in the past, and I've read these few scriptures here before. And I've read in here and I've talked about, but really the part that I would focused on in the past was that if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, believe it and it will be removed. And I do believe that. I honestly do believe that with God's will, absolutely anything can be done. And I've read these four verses, but I never really paid attention to the last two verses in these four verses. And this is really what I want to focus on tonight. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. You know, I've said before, and I'll say it again, that I feel the message that I have, this isn't new. This isn't recreating anything at all. These are things that we've heard throughout the years. And really, I guess in a way, I'm kind of preaching to the choir in a certain respect, in that I'm teaching to those who really are the good example. You set the example for people. But even though we try to be good and we do good things in our lives, sometimes I think we stumble and we fall. And really what I want to talk to you about tonight is that we are that light unto the world. If we get upset or if we get mad, what do we do? Do we hold a grudge against a person? I'm going to be real honest, and I'm almost ashamed that I did this. In fact, I am ashamed that I did this. I took my brother, and this may seem silly to a lot of you, but it kind of bothers me, and I haven't done something about it yet. But I took my brother to Dallas for a weekend. And everyone knows my brother. My brother is a very kind of moody person sometimes, very set in his ways. And Jason really likes a firm schedule. And me, on the other hand, I really like a loose schedule. And my wife can attest to that. We struggle through that all of our lives together. But I took my brother to Dallas, and I got some other guys together, and we all paid for Jason's trip. We paid for his flight. We paid for everything throughout this whole weekend for Jason. And I feel like, and I was kind of the one who got it together and got everybody together for this trip. We got down there, and we were all looking forward to a weekend away, and we were going to go out, and we were going to play golf, and we were going to go out to dinner, and we were just going to have a good time, just all of us guys. And we got down there, and Jason was really kind of moody. And it really made me upset. And I was mad at Jason for the way he was acting. And I really wasn't mad at Jason for the way he was acting towards me, but I was mad at the way that Jason was kind of treating those around him. And it kind of went on that whole weekend like that. And finally, we were in the Dallas airport leaving on Sunday evening, and Jason had a chance, well, actually, we all had a chance to get bumped from that flight, take a little bit later flight, and get like a $250 voucher or a $350 flight voucher. And it kind of lined up where Jason was the first one in line for it, and then I think Kyle was next, and then myself, and then Mike Bernal. And we kind of stood there, and we said, well, who should go? And I said, well, you know, I really don't care. I said, I kind of want to get home and see my family. And Kyle was like, well, I don't really have to get up early, so I don't mind if I stay. And Jason's like, well, I really don't have anything, you know. And Jason kind of, well, I'm staying. No matter what, I'm the one staying. And throughout all this weekend, all these things have been kind of compiling for the way Jason had been acting, and it really made me upset. And I got home, and I didn't say anything to Jason about it. And I still haven't said a word to Jason about it that I was upset with him. But I said something to my mom and dad, and I told them I was upset, and I told them I was mad at the way Jason had acted. And it's kind of normal for a child to run to his parents and tell them, you know, but I was upset, and I was probably more hurt. And I'm ashamed that I didn't go to my brother. I had odd against my brother. And I didn't go to him in time. And when I see my brother next, I'm going to ask for his forgiveness. Because just like right here, no matter if it's big or small, and I see this as a small thing, but I had odd against my brother, and I did not go to him. And if I can't go to my brother, could I go to one of you if one of you made me upset? Or if I made one of you upset, would you come to me? You know, this is the place I feel in our church and our local is the place that we can work together on these things. We can strengthen each other. It's kind of like at home. As you raise your children, as Michelle and I raise our children, our house, our home is kind of that proving ground, kind of that training period for them to get out in the world, much like I feel our church is for us. Is our church is that proving ground for us, that training ground for us, and that if we have aught against our brother, we should be able to come to each other. I don't think we have a lot of problems. I don't think we have a lot of people that are accepting each other. But you know, I had a prime example. When I was the young people's leader for a few years, we had a situation where there was a couple different families of kids, and one family of the kids was upset at the other family of kids. And I mean, this was just bickering, going back and forth. And I would say this went back and forth for probably over a year's time. And one wouldn't do anything with the other, and if one was there, sometimes the other wouldn't come, and on and on and on. And I thought, this is crazy. What is the problem? So I went up to one of the older siblings, and I said, why is there a problem between these two families? He said, well, I really don't know. And I said, well, why do you want to not participate with this other family? Well, our family just kind of believes a little bit different than they do. Now, these are children that have absolutely no idea what the families have been upset about, what the families have said against each other, but yet they don't want to participate with the other. This hurts me, and this upsets me, and I feel like this is the time that we need to be working together. I just want to quote a real quick scripture. And I've read this several times, but Ephesians 6 in the 12th verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These two families are not in battle with each other, but I feel that they are in battle with wickedness in high places. We have to stop this. We have to come together. We have to work together, no matter what the problem is. If you have aught against your brother, go talk to him. if we don't. It says right here, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you. I think this is a small thing. This is a very small thing. But if we don't forgive our brother, if we don't go ask for forgiveness, how can we be forgiven? Turn with me to Matthew 24th chapter. I'm going to read out of the, starting at the third verse. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And I think that verse is very important there. Reading this verse, and we've heard this verse read, I'm not saying that the end of the world is coming next week or is coming soon. But you know, there's a lot of things that are mentioned in here. In the 10th verse, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. There are so many forces out there that are trying to knock against us. Satan is working overtime to come after us. If we have hatred, if we're upset with our brother or sister, what good is that going to do us towards our eternal life? We have to work these things out. I've always believed and I've always said, can't we all just get along? And I really mean that. I know that sounds corny, but I really do believe we can all get along. And I'm not saying we have problems, but I'm saying we have to work at this. We have to go to our brother. If we're offended, go to him and talk to him. I want to read a newspaper article. And really kind of surprised. I've gotten several articles out of this newspaper, and it's called the Illinois Agri News. And I really thought it was kind of odd that I'm finding some pretty nice articles out of just an agricultural newspaper. But the article says, and really the lady who writes this, it's her title is Sowing the Seed, and she writes this about once a month. And it says, More light needed in America again. And this was from back in October 1998. The task of a Christian is to be light to the nations. Many of us fail because we do not walk in the light, but live somewhere in the shadowland. President Clinton has recently been criticized for his lack of moral conduct. He tried to smoke drugs, but didn't inhale. His term has been plagued by compromise. As many Americans analyze Clinton's character, it is also a good time to judge the nation. Many of us have sacrificed truth and righteousness for convenience. We have left black and white, living for a shade of gray. After living in the shadows for decades, I believe it's important for Christians to shake the darkness off and come to the light. If church fails to hold up a standard of righteousness, future generations will never know right from wrong. Today we are living in a time when each person decides what is right. Many Christian leaders tremble at judging evil because they fear being labeled intolerant. It is important to remember that God hasn't changed, and he has no tolerance for living in sin. Christ addressed the danger of living in shadows when he warned Nicodemus, a crooked tax collector whose life was one of compromise, to come clean. He said, This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Even though he was living a moral life when he had a vision of God, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah saw his sinfulness and compromise when he was in the presence of the light. He cried, "I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King." Today, America is a nation with dimming brightness. The light has gone out in the homes of prestigious leaders. It has also flickered in lives of many believers. Broken homes, sexual sins, and addictions among church families parallel the world. Now is the time to step out of the shadows and expose ourselves and our leaders to God's brightness so we can recognize sin as sin. From the White House to the church house, we need more light in America again. And I think that's a nice article. I think she really does a good job of taking something that I feel is a negative in our world. We look at our world leaders, and she's putting it back on us, and she's saying now is our time to be that example, to set that example. Turn with me to Mosiah, the second chapter, page 221 of the Book of Mormon. I'm going to read the 25th and the 27th verse, 25th through the 27th. "And you will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked." None of us would want this for our children. We would do anything for our children so that they wouldn't have to do this. "Neither will you suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel one with another and serve the devil, which is the master of sin, or which is the evil spirit which hath been spoken by our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness. But you will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. You will teach them to love one another and to serve one another." Much like I talked about, if we have contentions with our brothers, we have to set that example. Whether it's with our brothers and sisters, or whether it's with those in the world around us, or whether it's with our children. We have to set the example. Much like I challenge each of you. Set the example for any children around us, whether it's me as a young person still, I feel, or whether it's my own children growing up. You know, I'm not trying to embarrass my Aunt Melissa, but Trenton goes to her Sunday school class, and he comes out of there, and he talks about it throughout the week. That is setting the example. And I'm not trying to set my Aunt Melissa up, but it is the example that is being set. Whether it's my Aunt Melissa teaching the Sunday school class, whether it's Trenton sitting here watching people, he talks about it. He talks about what goes on at church. He talks about things that we do, whether it's in church or whether it's outside of church. We are setting that example for our children. Same thing here. We have to set the example. We are that light, which what this article talked about. We are that light to the world. We have to set the example to that. Turn with me to 3 Nephi, page 637 in the Book of Mormon. Now we want to read the 61st verse. I'm sorry, 636. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be the light of this people. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." We are that light. We are the example that we set before the people around us, whether it's the people we work with, whether it's their brothers and sisters at church. I want to flip over to the other side on page 637 and read the 68th through the 73rd verse. "For verily I say unto you that except ye shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, and it is also written before you, that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment of God. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of his judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rekha, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if ye shall come unto me, or shall desire to come unto me, and rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, go thy way unto thy brother, and first be reconciled to thy brother. And then come unto me with full purpose of heart, and I will receive you. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time he shall get thee and thou shalt be cast into prison." My hope for each of you is that we don't get caught up in contentions and having not with our brothers and sisters. You know, when Michelle and I got married, Joel told us, as he counseled us prior to the wedding, he said, you know, never go to bed upset with each other. Never go to bed at night if you're upset with each other. And in all honesty, that hasn't always worked for us. But in all honesty, we have tried. We really have tried. And I think the same thing that I challenge each of you. If you have aught against your brothers and sisters, don't go to bed. You know, my dad talked about, I should finish that, don't go to bed until you try to resolve it. My dad talked about, in his sermon a week ago, how he went and he pulled Brad out of the mud and had some problems, and he had to go talk to some people before he could resolve the issue. And he said that was an example of true repentance for him. And I'm not trying to copy what my dad said, but you know, just like my Uncle Steve said to us last week also, our challenge and our job is to be going out and working with those people around us, to be filling up these pews in around us, to be bringing people into our church. We have to do that by setting the example. And that's the way to start. How many times have you heard somebody come up or somebody say, you know, that person is just a really nice person. I don't know what it is about that person, but there's just something really neat about them. We have to be that light, and we have to set the example. If we're upset with people, and I'm not saying we can't be upset with people, I'm still going to be upset with my wife sometimes, and definitely her with me. I'm still going to be upset at my brother in the future, and he with me. But what I'm saying is if we have aught with our brother or sister, we have to get this resolved and move on. Because we have a job to do. We have a calling that we've been given. And that is to go out and to be that example. To set that example. And I challenge you to try that. Turn with me to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Verse 37 to 40, and you've all read this before. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I think that's a powerful, powerful few verses right there. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. I want to go into Matthew again, and I'm sorry. The 5th chapter. Verse 23 and 24. And these two verses really go back, and this is from the Sermon on the Mount. But these two verses really go back and kind of talk about if you have aught against your brother. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. I just have two more quick readings that I want to give. Short ones, but turn with me to the page 221 in the Book of Mormon. And this goes right back to what I was reading earlier, but it just kind of continues on where King Benjamin was talking. And I want to start at the 28th verse. And really what I want to get into now is I feel like we've kind of gotten to a point, or at least I hope I've presented to a point where we talked about in the very beginning, I said if we have aught against our brother, we know that we have to go and talk to them. We are that example, we are that light, and we have to set that example. But now I want to talk about some of the things that we need to be doing and how we can do them. And starting at the 28th verse, and also ye yourselves will succor those that stand in need of your succor. You will administer of your substance unto him that standeth in need. And you will not suffer that the beggar putteth up his petition to you in vain, and turn him out to perish. I think we have done a great job, this local in our church, of going out and helping those that are in need. We see the ministry out, ministering to those down in Yucatan, down in Guatemala. down in Honduras. People have gone out and we've made sacrifices. But not just there, we've made sacrifices here. We've adopted different families. We've done things for those. And just like it says here, and you will not suffer that the beggar putteth up his petition to you in vain and turn him out to perish. We've helped those. Perhaps thou shalt say, the man hath brought upon himself his misery. Therefore I will stay my hand and will not give unto him of my food, nor impart unto him my substance, that he may not suffer, for his punishments are just. But I say unto you, O man, whosoever doeth this, the same hath great cause to repent. And except he repenteth of that which he hath done, he perish forever, and hath no interest in the kingdom of God. For behold, are we not all beggars? Do we not all depend upon the same being, even God, for all the substance which we have, for both food and raiment, and for gold, and for silver, and for all the riches which we have of every kind? And behold, even at this time ye have been calling on his name and begging for a remission of your sins. And hath he suffered that ye have begged in vain? Nay, he hath poured out his spirit upon you and hath caused that your hearts should be filled with joy and hath caused that your mouth shouldn't be stopped, that ye could not find utterance so exceeding great was your joy. And now if God, who hath created you, on whom ye are dependent for your lives and for all that ye have and are, doth grant unto you whatsoever ye ask, that is right in faith, believing that ye shall receive. O then, how had ye ought to impart of the substance that ye have, one to another? And if ye judge the man who putteth up his petition to you for your substance, that he perish not, and condemn him, how much more just will be your condemnation for withholding your substance, which doth not belong to you, but to God, to whom also your life belongeth. And yet ye put up no petition, nor repenteth not of the thing which thou hast done. I read this scripture and I think it's pretty self-explanatory, and there's not a lot of things that I can say to sum that up, other than this is exactly what we are to do. We are to help those that are in need, and we do. We don't have time for having a difference or a problem with our brothers and sisters. Yes, we're going to have them, but we've got to get them resolved, and we've got to move on, and we've got a job to do. Turn with me in my final closing verse on page 212 of the Book of Mormon. On the 49th verse, we had this as one of the themes for camp one year. And I think this is a beautiful verse. And behold, I tell you these things, that ye may learn wisdom, that ye may learn that when you are in service of your fellow beings, you are only in the service of your God. And think back to the times that you have served, that you have helped someone out, and how good that made you feel. That time when you have shed the light on those around you. I appreciate your attention. I appreciate your time. I ask that if you ever have aught against me, please come talk to me. And I will do the same for you. I can guarantee, my wife will tell you, I'm not the sharpest guy when it comes to a misunderstanding. I'm a very easygoing guy, and I just kind of let things roll off my back, and things just don't really get to me. But if I've ever done anything to offend any of you, I would ask that you come and talk to me.